Hi Sandra, you asked me to talk a bit about what I'm working on at the moment. And at the moment I'm working on a text inspired by a conversation I had yesterday with a friend, and we were talking about social stress. And that of course causes the reflection, well, social stress or social pressure, the word he used, what is that? We know pressure as a terminology in physics, and stress was borrowed from physics by Hans Selye in formulating physiological stress. So these loan words have now become normal in the parlance about what happens in people. But what happens in people, how can it be that they are stressed or under pressure as a result of conversations with other people, or the news that is broadcast on our television set or radio? So I've tried to get my ideas sorted out on that and found that I need to clarify a couple of things for myself in doing that. But as so often, I find that when I start to address a topic, essentially it unfolds itself. And also, in this specific topic of what is social pressure, it cannot be physical pressure. What is the experience of stress? It cannot be physical stress. That leads to an exploration in which, paradoxically, the physical nature of stress and pressure are actually at the basis of everything. Because my whole thinking, of course, goes in the line that we cannot use the terminologies of how people normally talk about it. When they say, yes, there is stress because there is a group having an effect. And basically they explain nothing. They add words of things which seem to be related to it. But how does a group exert physical pressure? A group does not exert physical pressure. If a group of people is shouting loud in a football stadium, what they do is they create airwaves. But how can airwaves, which are, say, the equivalent of a massage, lead to a chronic stress and even disease in somebody? So there must be a different kind of translation. So what I'm looking for then is a connection to what we understand of the way the universe works, and then try to connect that up to other things that we know, so that we can end up with a kind of insight by which we could come to conclude that if somebody says something, yes, there is a possibility that in the body of the other something locks down, as a result of which cells contract, which is then the experience of a pressure or a stress. So you can already hear that implied in what I just said, there is a translation from words that people say, waves in the air, the hearing of air waves being interpreted, and then the interpretation leading to a physiological change in the body. So that is then what I'm exploring now. And with the text that I'm working on, I basically have the introduction in place. That means that I have the whole concept and the whole outline in my head. And of course, when I speak about it, it's no longer in my head, but everybody can have access to it. So let me just run through that outline so that the story can unfold as we go. For me, the starting point is tetrionics, for the simple reason that having studied engineering and engineering science, science in general, system theory, the deep end of mathematics, and other things that you can learn at the university. I now see that Tetrionics is, for me in any case, the best option or the best description of how the universe works. To recapitulate, science, classical science, looked at the movement of materials, at matter, then discovered the nature of molecules, which was actually described by relativistic science. Those were understood to be based on atoms and the electrons moving between atoms, which is the foundation of quantum mechanics. And then it was also clear that at a deeper level, it is the switch of the electron from one orbit to the other, the so-called quantum energy shift, which is at the foundation of it all. But that's not a displacement of the electron, but that's a charge, electrical charge, displacing the electron. And that's what Tetrionics describes, that below matter there are molecules, below molecules there are atoms, below atoms there is an electromagnetic field, and that electromagnetic field follows laws of electromagnetism. These laws imply a geometry, and from that geometry it is then clear that a quantum change will have a kind of specific effect in the quantum field. And one of the consequences of that change in the quantum field is that it can actually curdle the quantum field and lead to a complex of four tetrions, which then create what's called a tetrion. So these four quanta form a tetrion, which is a physically inert structure. And then Tetrionics shows that that's how the quantum field then forms and moves matter, for the simple reason that these tetrions are electrically charged and the electric charges in the quantum field will displace them. So that is that then the first part of the story. And after that, we need to switch gear. And actually, what I'm doing now is very similar to what Ernst Binz did. I heard him talk about mathematics at some point, and that was just beautiful. He used a specific kind of mathematical approach, and then from the starting point, he led to a specific conclusion, as if traveling through a road, and at that end point, he brought people to, say, an intersection with other forms of mathematics. And he said, okay, now this is where we need to change direction. And he used a different form of mathematics, navigated in a different kind of conceptual domain, and brought people to a new, say, roundabout or other way, and then went to yet another form of mathematics. And this way, through roads and viaducts and tunnels and ferries, brought people to a conclusion which was possible only by combining the mathematical forms in that manner. So I'm doing now the same. Having introduced Tetrionics, we can then see that there is this electromagnetic domain which forms and moves matter. And having come to that endpoint of, say, that road, we can then switch to the second gear of the story, which is a different metaphor in the description, a different model to be used. And the model that we can use then is that of computing science. Because at the moment that we are talking about electromagnetic flows, moving tetrions, we can also think about electromagnetic flows moving electrons in a computer software program. And then we can see that the software in the computer is not simply electrons moving, but there is a pattern to the movement of the electrons. That's where we can connect it to the understanding of holograms, holographic images, complex patterns, so that in the computer, there is this pulsing frequency vibration, more complex than a Morse code, more complex than Fourier code. There's different patterns running through each other. Compare it to the waves on the ocean, which I studied in hydraulic engineering. And then these complex patterns of waves together form what people know as the software. And thanks to the work of Joaquin, we can then switch in our understanding, because what we then can describe as the software or as the algorithms, we can also in our body understand as the archetypes. So we can then do another switch to a different model. We leave the model of the software in the computer with the pulsations of vibrations of the electromagnetic field and the electrons dancing accordingly like a musical symphony. Instead, we look at the musical symphony of electrons dancing in our body, and then we can see that in our body, likewise, we have specific programs which are active. We have specific realms of memory that are stored. And in general, everything that we have in a computer, we can also imagine there in our body. With the main difference that in the computer, the software cannot change the hardware. And in our body, the software continuously changes the hardware. And the reason for that is very simple. That in our body, the hardware is produced, say printed out by the living cells. And so when the music, which the cells hear, that field of idea, that hologram of sensed experiences, that bleeding through of the vibrations of the universe into our body, when the cells respond to that, they will print out the body differently. And when there are conflicts in that symphony, which this of that hologram that the cells listen to, Peter Gariev and others described that holographic nature of the DNA. Carl Pribram described the holographic nature of the brain. Many people have added information to that, so we can associate our body with a holographic image. And then we can understand that the body itself is a printout created by the cells of the holographic image. And so the archetypes are basically then the patterns for that printout, which are not just coming from DNA stored over the millions of years by the accumulated experience of all our ancestors, but also as a result of their behavior and our behavior, as a result of which are specific patterns stored in our body. Those are not just patterns as archetypes, let's say algorithms, let's say programs of specific dynamics of behavior, the way the cells are triggered by vibrational fields in motion, but we have also vibrational and fields in motion which are not moving, but repeating themselves as they are where they are, and then that's called memory. And so some of these memories are compatible with the environment, so they're helpful in what we do in our environment, but some of them are actually stored information, memories of traumatic experience, experiences where things did not work out right, where things actually went wrong or could have gone wrong. And so they too are stored in the body, but they cannot be integrated into the body, because if they were active, they would disintegrate the body. And so these traumatic memories are locked away. That costs extra energy, that costs an extra memory lock around it, which is then traditionally called a hell, that place where the memory is locked, and purgatory, that extra energy which is required to lock it away. And then when that memory nevertheless gets activated, had that stand called the devil. So in that way, we can understand already that in our body, things can be activated which are actually not to our benefit, which then links already to that idea of stress and pressure. Because at the moment that the things are activated in our body which do our body no good, the rest of the body will need to hit the brake. And so if there are more and more of these programs, stored programs, those traumatic memory programs, which are directly or indirectly activated, the body will hit the brake, slow down, freeze up. And in that way, the cells lock down. The cells will actually reactivate memories of physical contraction or physical spasms, and thus reproduce a state of anxiety in the body. So that's where we can then see that, yes, there is a good reason to connect that what people say to what can go wrong in the body. And that's also where we can then realize that when people say sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me, that's wrong. That statement is not correct, because yes, sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can certainly hurt people. So we then need to still understand, how can it be that people get hurt by words? Already, if we know that there are traumatic memories in the body which are being triggered by words or by memories or by conditions, by circumstances, then that will freeze up the body. When people talk about till hell freezes over, actually hell is a closed system, so it is a frozen state in the body. So actually hell freezes over and it's a normal state of being of hell. So these memories too, they're frozen in the body, they're stored there outside of time. But if they're activated or reactivated, then suddenly the body has to deal with it. That means it cannot deal with its other stuff. And one of the images I often have with that is in a household, when the freezer turns on, then momentarily the lights in the house dim. Actually, the whole principle of applied kinesiology is based on that. That if people are thinking about something which has not been processed, then their body has a weak response to what's often called a challenge. So the body finds it difficult to hold its posture. It goes limp. It loses its vigor because it suddenly has to deal with these unresolved issues. So this is well known in applied kinesiology and many other dowsing techniques. It's also known in hypnosis. In hypnosis too, it is possible to evoke or implant memories. And mind control is an application of these concepts of hypnosis. So in mind control, it is possible to implant or imprint beliefs or thoughts into the body, as a result of which the body is brought into an afflicted state or a resolved state. In an afflicted state, meaning that the body goes into a fear posture, and in a resolved state, that the body goes into relaxation and lets go of old programs. And that's also why meditation works. When people relax the body, the same as happens in deep massage or procain and other stuff, the body lets go of the locked in memories and can release them. And so it can then discharge the charges. In different words, the hell segments leave the body, and the body ends up cleaner and younger and more vital. It rejuvenates, longevity comes back in. All because memories which were stored in the body can be let go. So instead of the body containing all kind of things from the past, the body can exist in the present. Instead of the body operating from the projection of expectations, reflexes from the past, the body can actually experience and be in the moment. Instead of the body being caught up in emotions associated with the reflexes, associated with the trauma of the past, but the body can be in a state of feeling, in the present, open to what goes on around. So that's where we can then see and understand that there is this connection between the memories in the body and the state of the body. That's also something that homeopathy works with, because the substances in the homeopathic remedies, the homeopathic remedy is actually, let's say, no more than a DVD or a floppy disk, a carrier of information. So the water or the granula or whatever is being used to impart the homeopathic signal is no more than a carrier. So indeed, there doesn't have to be any material substance in it, just as the floppy disk or the CD or the DVD. The material is immaterial when you put it in the DVD player. The material that you put in the DVD player comes back out after you've played the symphony orchestra or the film that you are watching. So the carrier of the signal is immaterial, and what matters for the body, for the body cells, is the information. And with the homeopathic remedies, the information which is carried into the body is that of specific postures and gestures in the body. The body in its way is in a continuous holographic cycling. As a hologram, it needs to replicate itself and it's again and again. Peter Rowlands showed the mathematics for that. Vanessa Hill showed the geometry for that. Tetrionics combines that in the foundation for that. And then in seeing that the body replicates its hologram, the homeopathic remedy can present specific forms of distortion of the hologram. And the homeopaths have realized that when people go to a specific form of disconnectedness in the body, that leads to a specific kind of effect. Compared to a tree growing by the shore with a specific direction of the wind, then the wind will blow the tree in a specific slanted direction. So the homeopath realized that that is the case, and then have patterns of inner response of the body to the specific conditions of the environment. And these distortions, compared to circle, which then is stretched one way or the other, a bit like Darcy Thompson showed that if you draw a herring on a piece of rubber and you stretch it lengthwise, you see an eel, stretch it the other direction and you see a boxfish, stretch it in other ways and you see the other kinds of fish. And then likewise, the homeopath realized that its holographic field, with its distortion, has specific patterns which are actually corresponding with what has been found in TCM, which I nowadays call traditional cybernetic medicine instead of traditional Chinese medicine, because Chinese medicine is cybernetic medicine. So in TCM, they know that the organs together they form this cycle, but if one of the organs has difficulties, other organs need to compensate, and that circular cycle becomes an uncircular circulation. And it will have blobs and blotches, compared a bit to a spinning top which slows down and starts to wobble. So the specific form of wobble is what the homeopaths recognize. They don't look at the film, but they recognize, say, the photograph images of a specific moment of that wobbling of the system. They feed that into the system. The body cells recognize that. The body cells assimilate that. They go into that. They replicate it. They act on that. And then suddenly they discover that they are connecting to that distortion which was stored in the body, in the body cell functioning, but the cells just had forgotten about that. So suddenly they remember, and then they can resolve it, and in resolving it, they feed it into the metabolic system, same as is done in applied kinesiology, when the meridians are activated on something that has been unresolved. And then the body digests it, detoxifies it, which is called Hering's law. The problem which was there, frozen into the system, now is unfrozen again. Hell is the frozen state. Unfreezing it releases it into the body. It needs to go out of the body, and then the digestive system basically gets rid of it. And in that way, homeopathy can look for specific patterns of distortion in the body, show it to the body cells. The body cells take on that pattern, rediscover the locked-in pattern which the homeopath had already seen, identify with it, dissolve it, release it. And so in that way, we can then see also the connection which at the deeper level brings us from this transition of algorithms and archetypes to the next level of the story. This is where we then change direction again, switch to a different model again, and now can switch to the model which is the foundation of the psychosomatic dynamic. The psychosomatic dynamic is essentially that in the cell communication, the cells use proteins, enzymes, hormones, and pigments as physical, chemical, electromagnetic, and photonic carriers for the radio information in the body. Again, same as with the homeopathy, same as the floppy disk or the DVD. The material is only that what carries it, but it is a signal what it is about. That's, of course, also where we then need to realize that when the medical doctors look at the anatomy and sort of half understand the physiology, they look at the physics and the chemistry, then they fail to see that the molecules are actually carriers of information. They are antenna carriers, they are antennae, but it is that information field around the antenna which matters, literally, because that is what gives the cells the information on which they act and by which they materialize the body. And that is where they then create the piezoelectric, the liquid crystal, the transducer, transponder, and the liquid crystal, the intelligent gel body materials as the printout of that information. The body's cell produces that. So that is also where, if the information is distorted, they will produce the wrong quantity or the wrong quality of these molecules, and as a result, the 3D print of the body will get distorted. So up to that moment, everything was all right, and from that moment on, everything is different. The medical doctors then say, there's something wrong with the body. No, there's something wrong with the information which the cells used for printing out the body. The body is that hologram which self-replicates. Again, Peter Rowlands with his self-replicating algebra describes the foundation of that. And then when the body has an error in its software, then the printout of the body is not correct. And that brings us to the work of Bert Verveen. He realized that in a different manner. He realized that the organs exchange molecules between them in cycles. These cycles are called the metabolomes. And so specific organs have specific organ glands. These organ glands are known as the chakras. Saskia Bosman has done a lot of work on that. So the chakras produce specific molecules. The specific molecules have specific frequencies. They carry specific forms of information, and in the body, spread along the axis of the body, There are these organ glands which have their specific hormones with their specific frequencies, with their specific messages, and they are like the notes of a musical instrument. It has also been called the flute of Shiva, where the holes of the flute correspond with the positions of these chakras in the body system. And the frequencies of the flute correspond with the frequencies of those hormones in this glandular system. So each of these glands is part of a cycle, and Bert Verveen realized that these cycles need to match. So they have this feed-forward loop and the feedback loop from the organ gland, the specific molecule, like a coat hanger of information, goes out into the body. Other cells work with that specific frequency, they work with that specific molecule. They take in that molecule, they transform it, and then it goes back to the organ gland, which then can recalibrate how much of these hormones are being sent out. And the medical world knows about the molecules, they know about the frequencies, they know about how their function and their rhythms, but they forget about the frequencies, the information, the antenna fields, the patterns. So they forget that all of these molecules are radio waves, and that the radio waves are signals going through the body, and the body cells don't have to be in touch with the molecules via receptors to be able to respond to them. And so that's where we can see the psychosomatic dynamic, that on the physical side, the body cells work with these molecules as receptors, but on the electromagnetic radio wave field side of the dynamic, and the cells sense what is going by, what's going on, because they have the information of that specific sing-song, of that specific frequency, of that specific hormone. And then, coming back to the work of Bert Verveen, these circuits all form loops, and the continued coherence of those loops is the foundation of health. So then we can see that in the psychosomatic dynamic, these cells produce these molecules with their electromagnetic spectrum, which go out into the body to specific other cells, come back to the organ, which then creates this closure, this loop, which Bert Verveen beautifully recognized to be the foundation of health. So it's not just as implied in his description that it is one loop with the feed forward and the feedback which need to have closure. And if the closure is failing with an overshoot, too much of the hormone being produced, or an undershoot, not enough of the hormone being produced, as a result of which there can be diseases of excess and diseases of deficit. The morbus Addison and morbus Cushing are examples of that. It's the same disease, but the one is excess and the other is deficit. So the feed-forward feedback loops are not connecting. And as Bert Verveen said, that means that we only have half the amount of diseases that are written in the books, because they're simply an excess or deficit of what should normally be a closed loop. And now we need to switch perspective yet again, because we can only understand what Bert Verveen has been describing, which applies not only for any specific organ gland, but it applies to all organ glands. So that's just not one feed-forward feedback loop in the body, but it is several feed-forward feedback loops in the body, as described by the chakra system. But we then need also to understand that these feed-forward feedback loops in the body at these different levels, with these different frequencies, with these different characteristics, resulting in different control systems in the body, corresponding with the chakras, as is described so well in the Orient, we now can need to trace that back to where does it come from. So in my approach, we can look at the body in the rearview mirror. We can have the body ungrow itself. And then we see that all of these feed-forward feedback loops ultimately come back to the first cell dividing. And when the first cell divides, the internal cell cycle turns inside out. When, by a vortex dynamic, the cell implodes, bounces back on the tetrionic quantum field, bounces back as two cells, and then has a feed-forward and feedback loop, the first feed-forward and feedback loop, which maintains the unity of units. So that's where we then see the foundation of these feed-forward and feedback loops. And that's where we see the foundation of health. That's where we see the requirement that the feed-forward feedback loop must be matching. If they mismatch by excess or deficit, then the body will go into a skewness. It will distort, which is actually then the foundation of this phenomenon of stress, because in physics, literally, stress is when you push one side, pull the other, you get this shearing effect, and that is the foundation of the dynamic of stress in physics. So the stress in physics is actually a geometry of a movement, which we can then see in this feed-forward feedback loop mismatching. So that's where we can then see the foundation of the stress. And of course, it's equivalent if you have two stresses from two sides building up a pressure. At the moment, though, we understand that these feed-forward feedback loops between the first two cells coming out of the zygote are interlinked. Then we can also see that these feed-forward feedback loops are connected to the cell cycles. The cell cycles are described by Hans Selye, normally known as Hans Selye. And Bert Vervain describes the feed-forward feedback loop external. Hans Selye describes the internal cell cycle and its acceleration and slowing down, which he then describes as the increase of production of a molecule, hormone, or the reduction of the production of that molecule. So Hans Selye looks at what happens inside of the cell, which we then can see as an outflow out of the cell with the production of these molecules. Well, Bert Vervain looks at what happens with that molecule outside and how it comes back. So the two descriptions complement each other. Those two descriptions also connect to the psychosomatic dynamic. So here we switch the perspective yet again. We went from Bert Vervain with the feed-forward and feedback loop into Hans Selye with the internal cell cycle acceleration, slowing down, more or less production in the cell, which of course also corresponds with increase of growth or decrease of growth in the cell and all that. And now we can go to the psychosomatic engine, because then we can see that the production of these molecules with their corresponding electromagnetic antenna fields is where matter and information are connected. So what we then see as the physiology of the molecules moving around in the body, which then results in the printout of the anatomy. So the physiology produces the anatomy. Distortion in the physiology produces a distortion in the anatomy. But now we can complement that to the other part of that, that all of these molecules have an antenna field. All of these antenna fields interact with all of the cells. These interactions between the local antenna fields and the antenna fields of all of these cells is the interaction of a frequency, say a signal frequency, with the hologram of the body. So suddenly we can see that in the body we have a continuous tuning, that the integral hologram field of the body, which is also known as the aura, is connected by a continuous flow of information, say a traveling antenna field in the body, which is a calibration frequency, which is in mathematics known as the isophase vector field. It's that rhythm that calibrates all of the other rhythms. And in traditional cybernetic Chinese medicine, that is called the meridians. So we can then see that there is a flow of signals, electromagnetic signals in the body, interacting with the hologram of the body. And now we need to switch perspective yet again and switch to what Björn Nordenström has described. He was the radiologist of the Karolinska Institute, who realized that around cancers there was an electromagnetic field. And from that, he discovered that everything in the body is actually an electromagnetic circuit program. Connect this back to what was presented before, the algorithm and the archetypes. So every vessel in the body, the arteries, the veins, the lymph ducts, the nerve ducts, the meridians, which were found by the Koreans. They discovered that these are compressible ducts in the tissues, that all of them are conveyors of electromagnetic signals. Just as you can have an antenna signal going through a coaxial cable from the antenna to the television set, and likewise in the body there are all kind of these, say, cabled antenna transport systems. And so in that sense we can then, by the understanding of Björn Nordenström, see that our body is again coming back to that model of the software in the hardware. It is a computer program computing in a hologram, connecting back to Tetrionics. So in that sense we are then dealing with a flow of information in a hologram of information which connects all of the cells, and all of the cells individually respond to this hologram signal, and the DNA as a hologram projector but also as a hologram receiver forms a crucial part in that. But the DNA is in its way no more than a magic wand or the baton of a orchestra conductor. It makes the vibrations tangible. Like a tuning fork, it helps stabilize and organize and say give a time signature to these frequencies so that they can be slowed down or captured or stored in a spatial kind of way. So that's where we then see that this whole hologram is in its ongoing dynamic, but it has multiple layers. And it is in that way also that we can then see that it is this hologram which informs the cells. The cells thereby change their production of the materials that they work with, their intake, their output. And the immune system actually does very much the same. The immune system has more to do with the variation, adaptation of the molecules, while the body cells has more to do with the production and the preservation or maintenance of these molecules and the body structure. But as a whole, that's where we can then see the psychosomatic principle in action. On the one hand, there is the information, the antenna field. On the other hand, there is the physicality, the material field. But they need to be combined, and that's where we can then come back to this model of Bert Vervain and realize that what he described as physiology, because he was looking at the molecules, we can also understand as the psychology. And just to give a metaphor in between, when Albert Einstein was talking about the light ray and created his understanding of the theory of relativity based on his model of the light ray, he looked at the light ray as a series of waves one behind the other. And as a result, he came up with his conclusions. But what he forgot is that all of these waves in the light ray, they have their higher harmonics, which in physics is called the wave envelopes. So as a result, Einstein thought that the speed of light was the limiting factor of what's happening. But in fact, because of the wave envelopes, there are not just the waves of the wavelength that Einstein was looking at, but the wave of double that length, triple that length, quadruple that length, the whole length of the light ray also then becomes a wave. And that is where that light ray becomes a hologram and has very different properties than Einstein described. Coming back to the model of the physiology and the psychology, when people look only at one of the cycles in the electromagnetic spectrum of the molecules traveling around in the body, they have a too simplistic understanding of what's going on, because these other chakras, these other glands with their other molecules and their other frequencies, they are part of that same system, let's call it light ray. They are harmonics of each other. They fit into each other. They connect to each other. And together, they're not simple isolated circulations, circuits, cycles, loops, but they're interwoven loops and they're calibrated loops. Their attunement is very well maintained. Again, that's where the meridian system comes in, because at the crossing points, these crossing points, same as with the light ray and the harmonics, all of these crossing points are interconnected. Because if you have multiple cycles circling together, you need to make sure that it doesn't start to wobble, because that gives the stress, that gives the pressures, and so on, which is the topic of this exploration. But they need to calibrate so that the stress can be avoided, that the pressure can be avoided, that all of these waves form part of the hologram, and the hologram does not distort in the way which I talked about when addressing the homeopathic perspective of recognizing the distortions and being able to deal with that. So it is important to prevent these distortions, and in order to be able to do that, all of these crossing points, all of these connection points of these loops within loops, they need to be attuned. So you need to look not at the loops, but at the way the loops connect. And this is where we need to change perspective again, because in mathematics they have this beautiful model of what's called the Borromean rings. Imagine that you hold a rubber band, simple rubber band, and you roll it a bit. Then from a circle it turns into a lemniscate, a figure eight. If you press it a bit different, rotate it a bit differently, you can have a triskel. You can have three loops instead of two. You can have four loops instead of three. And in this way, you can have very many complex loops within loops. And in a way, that is what you see, changing the model of perception again, in Chladni figures, or they're also known as cymatics. So when you have a surface, vibrating surface with dust or water on top of a loudspeaker, you can see that in the dust complex patterns form. You can see the hologram of the sound. You can see the frequencies and the harmonic frequencies interlooping, interlinking, interlocking, and creating that dynamic, which in the body we don't see, but we see the printout of it in the very strong cohesion of the body, that one cell of conception 100 years later can still be recognized as the body. So we are dealing with that kind of cohesion. So coming back from the cymatics to the loops, to the hologram, to the psychosomatics, we can then see that what Bert Vervain described for the molecular circulation, we need to connect to this antenna field circulation, because every molecule has its antenna field. All of these antenna fields are interlinked in this holographic mode, but this circulation of antenna information of different levels of complexity, because all of these antenna fields, like atoms, they can form molecules, and like molecules, they can form matter. It's not just vibrations, but they can be circulations of vibrations, and they can actually be standing wave of vibrations. So that's why we're changing the model yet again. In physics, can see that we have that relationship between a quantum change in the information field, which then can lead to a shock wave in the atomic field, which can lead to a traveling wave in the molecular field, which then can lead to a standing wave in the material field. But these are waves in the hologram, which are simply sliced in a four dimension. The phase change is a zero dimensional, the shock wave is one dimensional, the traveling wave is two dimensional, time cycles, time loops, and the standing wave is three dimensional, spatial structure, holographic standing waves. So with all of that in place, we can then see that the psychology of our body, the physiology we can see, the psychology we can now implicitly see, because we can see that there's these patterns within patterns. And coming back to what was discussed before, the homeopathy and the distortion of the pattern, any moment that any of these memory patterns get changed, that will create a difference in the relationship to these other patterns stored in the body, and also a change in the relationship to the holographic pattern of the body as a whole. So that's something which I described in a paper called the Equation of Health. There are possibilities for that hologram to have lacunations, holes, or the kind of constipations, the pressures. So that's where we can then, in a way, see that pressure build up in the body as a result of changes of information. Now we come to a more important switch in the topic, because having connected the physiology to the psychology, thereby having connected the flow of the molecules to the flow of antenna fields in the body, we can now see that on the one hand we have electrons connecting atoms to form molecules, to form materials. And likewise, we have seen cells forming organs, forming the body, and forming a material structure. But we can now connect them to this realization that the cells can do that because the information field informs them on how to do that. The cells all have their rhythm, but the information field synchronizes those rhythms. If the information field gets stagnated or blocked, the cells in that area of stagnation, they can no longer synchronize, they fall back on their fallback rhythm, and that's called cancer. So cancer is an information disease. It is not a physical disease. Cancer is the result of a distorted memory, I call it a traumatic memory, and it is not as a result of whatever influences people now describe it to. Because all of these processes take place in information space, actually phase coherent space, because it is from phase coherent space that the cells know what to do and together form the body. So it's the information fields which determines the cell regulation, that determines the physiology, the cell molecule production, and that determines the anatomy, the printout of the body. So there we have the connection of, say, the psychosomatic principle, linking the physiology with the psychology. What we need to do now is that turning point I mentioned before. We need to turn this inside out. So now we need to understand that everything which has been discussed, from the quantum field to the software in the computer, to the cell communication with the feed-forward feedback loop, to the production of the materials by the cells, as a result of these holographic information fields. All of that can happen because our body is responsive to information. And so, having connected the physiology and the psychology in the body, we now need to connect it to the sociology and the ecology outside of the body. These are exactly the same processes with exactly the same dynamic. So the sociology is the counterpart of the psychology, the ecology is the counterpart of the physiology. And what this essay is about is specifically about this duality between the psychology and the sociology. And that is where we need to realize that the psychology, with all its antenna fields, within antenna fields, within the hologram, we cannot well see, because all of that is in phase space, all of those are vibrations in specific forms of coherence. With Henk Kooi in the series on Mathemusics, we explored that and realized that, yes, the body is that holographic piece of music, and the cells dance to that music, and they produce the materials according to that music. And so we know that. But for the understanding of the relationship between people, we see more of what goes on in the physiology. So in the physiology, we can see that the cell produces a molecule. The molecule goes somewhere else in the metabolome cycle, is processed in the other cell, comes back in a different form, closes the cycle in the original gland where it was produced. And then we can see that there is this feed-forward feedback cycle in the physiology of the body, which is the foundation of health as described by Bert Vervain. Now, between people, we have exactly the same dynamic, because this is the same dynamic of the BEM field and the KEM field in the tetrionic description. The BEM field is the radial or the circular flow of quantum flux in the field. KEM is the radial or linear flow in a quantum field. And so when a radial or straight line connects somewhere else and comes back, that produces a circular system as well. And actually, in the electromagnetic, you can see that the linear movement of the tetrion quantum will induce, by the right-hand rule, a rotational vortex associated with that quantum. So we have that link between the lineal and the circular right at that level. And it is that circular dynamic that we see in the feed-forward feedback loops. And it is that circular dynamic that we experience in the feed-forward and feedback between people. So even if we do not see how the feed-forward and feedback between the people takes place, we know that it happens because in the body, which is an antenna system in a holographic array, we know, and that's Chinese and Oriental medicine rather than the Western medicine, we can see in the chakra system that there are these resonators at different levels which respond to the feed-forward, the vibrations which come from the other. So we now have this link that when people say something or do something or move something, that picture of their movement is interpreted as a friendly stance or a non-friendly stance. So they are interpreted as friend or potential enemy. So there is an openness or a closure which is then activated. Let's call it resonance or mirroring or mimicry. At the core of the brain, we have this mirroring neurons, this pattern recognition system. So we can immediately recognize, is somebody going into a threatening stance or into a friendly stance? Again, connect that to the homeopathy of a distorted field or a coherent field. When people go into a threat, basically their organs go into a skewness, So they're fearful, they're angry. It is no longer a circular dynamic, but it is an egg shape or another kind of dynamic. Again, connect that to the homeopathy idea presented before. Then in us, we recognize what kind of distortion the other has. The homeopath just simply turned that into a profession, but everybody knows if somebody that you see is happy or unhappy. So in you, there is something that copies that, that replicates that, receives that. And so the body of the other as a whole, like your own body, is a hologram field. The body posture that they have is the dynamic created by the psychology in their body. So their stance that they have is an expression of the psychology, let's say the archetype that's operating within them. And then their body energy field, the kind of circulation, the kind of antenna activity, the kind of hormones that they have in their body are radio signals. So in that sense, we are all a mobile phone radiating specific kind of signals. And that means that our body as a hologram field is sensitive to the hologram field of other bodies and trees and rocks and the clouds and the stars and the sun and all that. So at that level of the hologram field, all of these bodies interact and interconnect. And at that holographic radio field level, we all resonate to each other, and we can all capture, sense, perceive patterns of what the other is doing. So then when the other is doing something like that, that's their integral holographic field. But the distortion in the integral holographic field is due to some memory system in them, let's say doing slingshot with whatever normally would go in a circular motion, holographic integral motion within them. And as a result of that traumatic memory or other memory, whatever they activate, there is something more or less expressed within them. That oriental system, they call that the shift in the chakras. So you're more in the head, more in the heart, more in the hara, more in the holy bone. So you're more in the thinking business or the feeling business or the doing business or in the being business. And so each of these are different levels in what you do within you. And all of those are associated with different activities of the glands, which are distributed in the vertical line throughout the body in what's called the chakra system. So when the head is more active, then the corresponding hormones are more active with their specific frequencies, and you can sense those. When the heart is more active, then those hormones are more active, and you can sense those. When the gut is more active, those hormones are more perceptible, which you sense. And when the holy bone is the basis of what's going on, then those corresponding hormones are active. And these things have been measured, that you can actually, at a distance from the body, monitor which of the glands are active, because the frequencies of those molecules are most pronounced. Saskia Bosman, again, has done quite a bit of work on that. So, in that sense, we can sense the distortion of others. We can perceive within us, not consciously, but at the radio electromagnetic level, we can perceive what kind of distortion or what kind of focusing somebody else is doing in their electromagnetic field. And as we sense that within us, and as we can replicate that within us, we can also, in a way, activate that within us. And neurolinguistic programming and other techniques have shown that often when people are facing somebody in a specific gesture or posture, or in a distorted gesture or posture, they will try to copy that posture, often unconsciously, or do the opposite. So at that electromagnetic level, there is a kind of chameleon in us all. We can mirror the other, or we can complement the other. And from those two options, we can then find another way to navigate in, around, or with the other. And that's where the fight, flight, fear, faint system comes in. Fight and flight is when you do things outside, which is, say, the counterpart of the neuronal system. You change the environment. Or the fear faint is the counterpart of the hormonal system, as an internal adaptation by changing what color, what kind of molecules are produced and how much, yes or no. So then at the deeper level, when people are in that specific activity or the specific focus of what they are doing, their electromagnetic signals in the organ glands will change the chemistry in their body. And you can smell that. Because the hormones and the pheromones are the same system. So at the moment that people go into fear internally, you can smell the fear externally. Dogs are very well known to be sensitive to that. And people then talk about people smelling sweet or smelling sour, smelling bitter. I once met a guy who could smell the aura of people at the side of the neck. But in that way, the chemistry of the body is the next level of rapport between us and the other. The first level is the hologram. The second level is the electromagnetic changes and shifts in the body. The third level is the chemistry. And the fourth level is then the physics. So at the fourth level, the physics, I talked about that before. That's where you then see that they change their stance, they change their color, they change their breathing, they change their blood circulation. There's the heat that radiates out. There are all kind of signals which are nowadays measured with infrared cameras or with galvanic skin responses, or with EMG, the muscle tensions, or the EKG, the heart rhythms, or the EEG, the brain rhythms. So all of these frequencies we perceive, even if not consciously, and we can copy that in our body. So we are co-processors in what the other does, and if the other gets stuck, we can get stuck. So that sort of brings us close to the end of the story, because we then have the realization that, yes, the quantum field dynamics as described with tetrionics, by tetrionics, is the foundation of all of what happens, also in us. That quantum field is outside of the physical space, but yes, it works in the physical space as the electromagnetic changes at the atomic level. So we then have that, that's where the algorithms and the archetypes operate. And then that changes the feed-forward feedback loops between the cells, and that changes the cell communication, that changes the molecular production by the cells. So that's where we are then at the third level of physiology, where we could use the story of Bert Verveen and Hans Selye. And that then results in the printout of the body by the cells working together with this hologram to print the body. But then we also realize that the way the body then is formed and the way that the body is moved, again, coming back to the tetrionic principle of only the quantum field can form and move matter. Likewise, the body moves, and the body postures are determined by that electromagnetic quantum holographic field in us. And we can see the posture of the other in the physical. We can smell the chemistry of the other in the chemical. And we can sense the electromagnetic the changes and activities in the other. And we can know the holographic functioning of the other. And so by having your body respond to what the other does, like tuning into it, feeling into it, sensing into it. You can help others. You can understand what the other is experiencing. But you can only do that to the degree that you know those kind of distortions that they're into. But more importantly, that's why we then have that relationship between body, mind, soul, and spirit, the anatomy, the physiology, then the regulatory system and the information system connecting up. There is that holographic integral system, which is called the spirit level, where everything is in perfect order. It is the biohologram, it is the DNA hologram, it is the integral functioning where all of the rhythms, all of the cycles, all of them interlink and form this beautiful ohm harmony of the sing-song of the cells. And then at the electromagnetic level, we have these calibrations going on, the meridian system, tuning the chakra system. The chakras are the vortices, the meridians are the circulations of the tuning the wave nodes of the frequencies in the body system. So that at that level, then the electromagnetic determines how the information flow takes place in the body, and as a result, how the system regulation in the body takes place, because the body responds to these electromagnetic signals. By their response, they then produce the chemistry and maintain the physiology. And by that, the anatomy is built. But at the electromagnetic, we have that electromagnetic flow in the body. And that goes back to the beginning of the story of the software and the hardware. The electromagnetic flow in the body is also interacting with the stored and even with the stuck memories. And so when people have stored and stuck memories, that's where the distortions in their information processing comes from. That is where they start to respond from painful memories and start to act out the painful memories. The locked up painful memories is called hell, and the activated painful memories is called the devil. The pain that they feel is called purgatory. So when something happens and their pain points are activated, their devils are loose, then you can see that in people there is a double nature in their being. There is the unified, integral, let's call it loving and whole hologram, but there is also this devilish, fiendish, distorted flow, which is not from the soul, but from problems held in the mind. So when we're interacting with people, we're always dealing with both of them. There is the soul part of them, where their integral being is active, but often that is covered over by the bumps and the botches that they had in their past, stored as, say, blue spots and broken memories in their system. And so when we activate those or reactivate those in the other, then that is called vetico. Vetico is that somebody is response triggered to something that you do, but most often what you did comes from your own triggered response. So we have two levels. One of them, the whole individual, and the other is the distorted individual. And we have not learned to look at them. We have not learned to discern them. When somebody gets angry, we don't realize that we feel their anger, but it is our anger that we feel. So when people talk about social pressure, or when people talk about social stress, it is simply that in us something is triggered and replicated, as a result of which in us a stress or a shearing or a pressure is created for the simple reason that there are two patterns in us which are not compatible, not computable. Coming back to what I said before, in physics, a stress is simply that you pull on the one side, you push on the other, and there is a distortion in between. With the feed forward and the feedback loop, you push one side, you pull the other side, and then the closure no longer matches, and you get a pathology. So we have an electromagnetic level where we can perceive all of this, and in understanding that, yes, we can connect what happens at the level of tetrionics. Yes, we can connect what happens at the level of the electromagnetic, which we before called the software. And yes, we can see how that distorts the feed forward and the feedback loops, which we also call the chemistry. And yes, we can then see how the cells overproduce or underproduce and distort the body, which is the anatomy. So all of these four levels are interlinked, and the four-dimensional dynamic logic sort of connects them all. Tetrionics describes how all of this happens at the information level, the quantum level. So now we can put in place that the problem of social stress and social pressure is not in other people pressurizing you, but simply in other people doing something individually and by reflex interlinking you with each other collectively. And if they link in, if they resonate at a level where they have no problems, they operate in love and their feelings flow. But if they operate from their hidden traumatic memories and operate by reflexes which are created in the past, then they operate by their emotions which are associated with cloaking, covering up for those memories, their reflexes in the past, and then people trigger each other in their emotions, they trigger each other in their reflexes. And basically all of them get stuck in the past, which is then called that the devil and diabolic and purgatory level of being. So yes, we have that experience of heaven and hell. Heaven is where we are at the soul level communicating with each other, open in universal being. And hell is where we are reminding of our own resolved past. And we can trigger that in each other so that in social situations, if people do not do their internal hygiene and do not resolve their inner stressors, then they can activate stressors for each other, to each other, and with each other. So that is about as close as I can get for now in trying to link social stress to what happens in people. Social stress is simply people working at a level of compensation. I need to elaborate that a bit. When people operate at a level of compensation, they're actually unstable, and as a result, they can destabilize others. This word of compensation and decompensation is important, and that's also connected to traditional cybernetic medicine and the work of Bert Verveen of his system pathophysiology. This is about the feed forward and the feedback loop. If the feed forward and the feedback loop is in closure, that is the state of health. If the feed forward and the feedback loop start to shift, but the cell is able to play with that, because there is an internal reserve, there is an internal plasticity, then that is the variational adaptation of the cell in a changing circumstance. So that's the level of adaptation. So the first level is health, the second level is adaptation, the third level is compensation. When the cell can barely cope with what's going on or cannot cope with what's going on, then it needs to compensate. It needs to do something else. Either its internal source of molecules is finished and it needs to involve other cells, or it shifts to a different kind of molecule in the metabolic system. We can see that we can go from one type of energy, say from sugar to ketones. There are different levels of energy production that the body can work with. The Krebs cycle in the cell is an example of that kind of shift. So then the cell shifts from one system to the other, it compensates. So the third level of the system, when it is at the critical border of its functioning, it's the system compensation behavior. And when something changes more than that situation can deal with, then the system decompensates. It falls apart. Or it recompensates. It goes to a previous level of functioning. It just discards the more complex level of functioning. And this way, the human falls back on the animal falls back on the vegetative plant system, the vegetative system can fall back on the cellular system. So in our development as a human and as a species, we started as cells, then plants, then animals, and then say for us humans. And if the system collapses, there's this fallback from humans to animal to plant to cell. So that is the system of compensation, decompensation. So when people, coming back to the social interaction, when people are brought to live at a level of compensation, at the edge of decompensation, then in social interaction, their behavior with each other becomes critical. They don't have flexibility, they don't have adaptability. That's become where they become critical to each other and critical about each other, critical about themselves. And this is essentially what in mathematics is called the critical system. René Thom and Christopher Zeeman showed the cusp of the waves as they then need to turn inside out on themselves. Traditional cybernetic medicine calls that the system of the three divisions, how the system turns inside out on itself. And that's where the social interaction can at these critical levels bring people internally to compensate and decompensate. And so coming back to us not having learned to discern heaven from hell, people are not able to recognize the soul level in the other and the say mind or the hurt mind, the hurt memories in the other. And at the moment that people are able to discern them, they can see that in everybody there is the soul part, which means well and tries to develop, tries to grow, but also there is this whole skeleton throughout the body of painful memories which have not been resolved, because in school they don't learn that. And so when they act, they try to act from their soul, but at the moment that something triggers them in their unresolved issues, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross describes that at the end of people dying, but actually, as the American Book of the Dead said, it is throughout our living that we need to work with that. We need to be able to resolve these unresolved issues, and then by doing that, we can get the blockages out of our memory banks. We get the trauma of the past released in the present. That is where the energy stagnated, causing distorted energy, and then the integral flow of the hologram can be restored. So, bringing this to a closure, actually it's beautiful to see how in talking about this everything falls in place. And now, the information between people is simply a replication of the feedforward and feedback loops that we have at the cells. In the cells, we see them as the molecules, but actually they are electromagnetic symbols or signals. When we communicate with each other, we use signals, we use symbols, which is also called magic. We are able to interpret that internally, so we process it internally. So what happens in the social system is not in the other, not between the other, but our response to what the other does and our interpretation of what we perceive the other is doing. A lot of miscalculation, miscomputation going on at that level. But what we end up with ultimately is that how the stresses and the pressure is something that we activate or reactivate within us, triggered or remembered, reminded by what the other does. And if we know this, then with the other we can sit down and say, okay, do you feel this pressure too? Yeah, okay, which reflex is that? Okay, is that one? Shall we resolve that? Okay, we resolve that. Okay, that's fun. We don't feel this pressure anymore. So all of these pressures, all of these stresses can then be used to de-block the system for everybody involved, so that our traumatic memories and their dependencies and their independencies can be replaced by autonomy, sovereignty, and that they go back from being driven by emotions to living in feeling, and that they can shift from being acted by reflexes to living in choice. Yeah, maybe that's a good place to close off this story.